Well, do you know that Delaware pastors did not want Rodney Howard Brown in Delaware? One pastor said, it's a big church. He said, you use my church. I don't believe in anything you're doing, but I'll let you use my church because my wife said I should. I went to Rodney Howard Brown in Florida, and he told me, he said, you need to move out of Delaware because they don't want God, and that's true. He said, you move down here, and I'll start you in a church, and your church will grow. It'll be a big church. But I said, no, I have to stay in Delaware. He said, I feel sorry for you. Because Delaware doesn't want God. It hasn't wanted God ever since I've been here. I took my brother down to see Rodney Howard Brown, and all kind of manifestations were occurring, and this one girl was sitting in front of us, and all of a sudden she jumped up. Her jewelry flew off. Every bit of her jewelry flew off of her. Her earrings, her her rings on her fingers, her necklace, everything just flew. And she kept going like this. And my mother said, what is she doing? I said, it's a demon that manifested. And then over here to our right, we was in a big auditorium to our right. Everybody other was going like this. And then she started running around the church. Well, Rodney Howard Brown just stood up front, left to take about 3 laps. And then when the third lap around, he said, in the name of Jesus, leave her. And she went flying through the air and landed on her back, and she got up a changed person. But they were sitting in front of us. Her mother turned around and said to us, I can't believe that happened because I think she's a praise and worship leader, somebody big in the church. And she said, I can't believe she had that devil in her. So he said, we never know. But the anointing broke the yoke that day. And that young girl was set free. That's why I get so exasperated here. Been preaching here for 30 some years. And I don't see changes. And I'm believing that God is going to change things. And I've got babies going to rearrange things, and that we're going to be everything that God wants us to be. Amen. I just wished it was now, but if it isn't, it isn't. It is what it is all I can say. All right, we're going to talk again tonight about the ideal. Now, do I have to do anything else? Was that it? Didn't you enjoy that?
Yes.
They didn't like it because all you did was sit there and laughter would break out. And they would say, that is not a God. And then the miracles would happen. See, the problem is with the pastors in Delaware, they don't have the anointing like they ought. And they're jealous of anybody else that does. That's the whole thing. And so if we would just quit our jealousy and quit our envy and everything else that we do, God could move in a mighty way. But we all know that with this revival that broke out in California, it's going to spread all over the nations. And I think it was a word I gave to put on the internet, website, whatever it is. And if things are going to change, and Delaware is going to break wide open. And this is why he's training some of you to be ministers of the gospel here, because he's going to need more than one church. He's going to need more than one pastor to carry this anointing and to have everything break out the way he wants it to break out. So don't be discouraged. Just keep on going, because we're right there. And any second, any day, any time, it can happen. Amen. All right, let's talk about, Father God, I thank you tonight for your powerful servant, Rodney Howard Brown. I thank you, Father God, that he stayed the course, even though he was like all the rest of us. He lost his congregations. He still stayed. And he still did the things you called him for to do, and now you brought him back again, Father. And Father God, everybody sitting in this house tonight is one of your children that you want to use in this end time dispensation. And I'm asking, Father God, that what you're doing here today, this morning and this evening, will take root in their spirit and in their soul. And Father God, that they will come forth and be the mighty towers that you can work through. And Father, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. In case you're not don't understand, the enemy's at work trying to destroy you. And he's going to use, I tell you this over and over again, but God wants me to tell you again tonight, he's going to use any weapon he can. Do you know that when one of you are upset with me, I can feel that? I said in my house yesterday, I said, I can't believe this. And I knew who it was that was upset with me, and I hadn't done anything. But I could feel it. And I thought, how dumb if you'd sit in your home and be upset with me. and destroy your walk, not mine, but it binds me up, but it destroys your walk with God, not mine. Now, why would you want to do that? I hadn't even done anything. Amen. I was just praying. And I'm telling you guys, you got to quit this mess. You've got to stop it. This morning when I was prophesied over Brother Adam, Aaron it was, I literally saw him and Jesus. They were transparent. They were just meshed together. And God was holding him so tight and loving on him. And it was just awesome to sit there and watch that happen. And then to feel the love that God was pouring into him. It was all I could do to even finish the prophetic word. The love was that strong. And you know, guys, God wants to pour anointing into you. He wants you to quit your foolishness and just allow him to be God. Walk in holiness like he's called us to walk in, and just allow him to be God. Amen. And I'm going to say this one thing. Anybody in this church that has a position in this church, you need to watch how you walk. Because you're not only going out there representing the Lighthouse Church, but you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do something dumb, you put a mark on him. You're saying his blood was not sufficient. And that upsets God, because God told me that's why he brought his wrath for all those years in the church, was because they were trampling over the blood of his son Jesus, and he had to do something about it. And he still has to do something about it. He's not going to allow you to trample over his son's blood. He's just not going to do that. So you better get it in your spirit, or you're going to be eternally lost. You can't go out there and do dumb things. You're supposed to be a child of God. The Ideal Walk, Part 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We was on 4 this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 taught us to walk in holiness, walk in love, walk in honesty, walk in hope of a second coming. All right? Now, I'm not going to say that word again because my tongue goes all around my teeth, all right? Chapter 5 teaches us to walk watchful. It's verses 1 through 11. Respectful, 12 through 13. Mindful, verses 14 through 15. Thankful, verses 17 through 18. Careful, verses 19 through 21. And faithful, verses 22-28. So it's watchful, respectful, mindful, thankful, careful, and faithful. We're going to cover those. Now, number one, walk in watchful. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. That's what we should be doing. We are not to be just waiting for Christ's return, but watching for it. So what's the difference? It's the attitude of expectancy. It's a much more active attitude. I wait for the mail each day, but sometimes I watch for something in the mail, right? These verses contrast light and darkness, drunkenness and sobriety. Part of this world has the light on, but most does not. Excuse me. A couple years ago, God told me, he said, they're like the virgins. Their lamps are not filled with oil. In other words, your vessel's not filled with oil, and Jesus is going to come, and you're going to want to run and get filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's not going to work, because we're supposed to have our vessels full of his oil all the time. Part of the world has the light on, but most does not. Part is alert and watching, but most is slothful and carefree. All right? If you're watching, you'll not be surprised, but the world doesn't seem to have a care. Illustration, a Coast Guard wired the Titanic several iceberg warnings, but it fell on deaf ears. And that's why it sunk. The signs of the times are everywhere, but the world is willfully ignorant of the warning signs. The labor pains grow closer together and more frequent and more intense. The earth will soon deliver. You know, people have been in the body. I mean, like I said, I've been preaching here for 30 years in this area. And the people come in and out of the church. And the minute you tell them something that ruffles their feathers, they run off to another church where somebody's going to tickle their ears and tell them, well, she always was of the devil. So you shouldn't have been there in the first place. And the next thing I know, a couple years go by, and here they come again. They're all messed up. They need prayer. They need deliverance because they listen to the lies of the devil. Now, don't blame God for that. You need to blame yourself for that. You know, a lot of people are not teachable, and they don't want to be chastised by the Lord. And by that, I mean God will use a person to speak to you. And so when you rebuke that person and tell them that's not a God, then you're telling God you don't know what you're doing. I'm going to tell you right now, I never say anything to you unless God himself first instructs me to say it. And sometimes I don't really want to say it. Please, God, don't use me as a vessel, as a messenger, but I have to do it. Amen. And sometimes when I come to you and say something to you and I say it real fast and abrupt, it's because I really don't want to do it. Amen. But God's made me do it. And because sometimes I don't want to get the repercussion of the whole thing. But that's my job, isn't it? Jesus got the repercussion all the time, didn't he? All right, the signs of, I said that, didn't I? All right, number two, walk respectfully. It's in chapter 5, verse 12 through 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. We need to quit arguing among ourselves. We just need to know, hey, you know, I don't know it all. And God wants me to know it all, so he sends somebody my way to teach me it all, right? And let's just quit being so silly about it. We're here to learn about the thing. You know, a couple years ago, another pastor came to me and he said, Barbara, you know, a really dear friend, he says, God's told me to tell you, you need to start teaching again. And I said to him, I said, well, I thought I was teaching. He said, well, no, you're going to do more in-depth teaching. And really, truly, it was. It's getting more in-depth. So, you know, I said to God, okay, God, so I'm a teacher. And your son Jesus was a teacher. But the teacher had signs, wonders, and miracles following him all the time. He said, did he? So maybe there were times when he taught that signs, wonders, and miracles didn't follow because of the hardness of the people's hearts. Are you learning something here? So even though God sent you to teach and you think, oh, great signs, wonders, and miracles are going to happen, they might not. And it's because the people's hearts are hard and they don't want to receive. They don't want that. They don't want those deep things. Because if you get into the deep things, then God starts dealing with you and that gets uncomfortable, doesn't it? Because when and he starts dealing with you, then you have to change. And you just don't really like that. And God will bring out the dark that's in you, and he brings in the light, and it just about blinds you. And then you, well, okay, God, now this is going on, and so I got to get rid of this. And it's an ongoing thing, constantly. I'm going to share you what happened to me this morning. I was sitting back there, and I prophesied to the two boys, and then God said, daughter, he says, I did not, what was there a word he used? Oh, I didn't disqualify you from being a prophet. You disqualified your own self. And he said, you listened to the enemy and he told you he wasn't worthy to prophesy. So you've shut your prophetic gifting down. And he says, it was not me. He said, you have done nothing, absolutely nothing that would cause me not to use you. And I was sitting back there weeping as he was talking to me, and somebody come up and started talking to me. But, you know, And he's right. I didn't want to prophesy because of what the hell that goes on in my home. And then I have to come here and preach. I feel very, very unworthy. So, you know, I'm telling you this to tell you this. Do not disqualify yourself. God told me years ago, I didn't call your family. I called you. And you are the one that has to answer to me. You don't have to answer to your family. Are you listening to this? And I know that sometimes when you're walking, when you get out there and you start walking with God, you'll disqualify yourself because you'll think you're not worthy. So don't do that. All right. And then the person that came and talked to me said, when I was laying on the floor, Jesus himself was dancing around the people. He said that an angel appeared and the angel said, my name is Breaker and I've come this day and I'm not leaving. And then Jesus spoke to this person, said, you tell my daughter that what she's been wanting is going to happen this month. So, you know, I'm sitting back there weeping because God just admonished me, really. And then he sent somebody back there. I'm going to pray about this and see if it really was God. But I just want you to see how God works in your life. All right? So I tell you all the time to check yourself every day, in which I do, and sometimes we get hard on ourselves, too hard on ourselves. And we start allowing the things that go on around about us to affect us. And then we believe, well, I'm not worthy. Don't do that. Take it before the Lord. The Lord is going to speak to you. The Lord's going to tell you exactly what's going on in your life. And he'll tell you exactly where he's at and where you're at. And where you're headed for. And I know God did tell me something about the month of May, but I told Brother Chris Gorn, haven't told anybody else, but I'm just waiting to see what God said is going to really happen in the month of May. I don't say that God's wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm just waiting to see. So number two is walk respectful. So admonish. Admonish means earnest advice or warning given in a gentle, respectful way. Are you correctable? Or is your current spiritual level as high as you can go? Some people are not correctable. They're not teachable. And they think they remove themselves, but really God, when you're sitting under somebody and you can no longer learn from them, then God removes you. Because you become unteachable and you'll just sit there and stagnate and die. God gives the church leaders as gifts. Now you can go out of here saying, Pastor Barbara thinks she's God's gift. In a way, yes, I am. You know, in a way, yes, each one of you in your ministry, yes, you are a gift from God. All right. But while I am over you, this same verse says, I am among you. This is a tough balance to strike. It takes some grace to prevent this from straining relationships, and I've told you that. That's why I don't like to fellowship a whole lot, because it does. It's a strain on what God's trying to do with you in the spirit. There's the leadership in here will tell you, I come to them and I tell them this is where I'm at. Do I not? I don't sit at home, and go through this and then come here and make everybody believe I'm all that and then some. I don't do that. I tell the leadership where I'm at. And then they can pray for me, and help me through my struggles. And so this is what you need to do as a body of Christ. You need to find somebody that really walks with us in the spirit that you can trust. And whenever you're having a bad time, you can go to them and say, hey, this is where I'm at right now, and it's not a good place. And I'm really telling you so you can cover me. We all need that. You're all leaders, because God told me he was going to send pastors in here that I was going to teach. And it really what he was telling me, pastors do come in here, but what he was telling me, he was going to send you guys. And you were going to be his pastors. And he was going to use me to teach you how to go out there and minister and not die. All right? So 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. Some translate esteem as esteem. That doesn't work. But when you submit, then the end result is peace. In other words, when you submit to the person that's over you, and if you don't like the person that's over you, then you really need to leave, because you're going to wind up being really messed up. Three, walk. I mean, I've been in churches where I loved the pastor and God said, I want you to go. Why? I just want you to go. Because I have a work for you to do and they're not going to accept you, so I want you to go. And I had to get up and leave crying the whole time because I really liked it there. But God knew that I was going to get stagnated there and I would never be able to grow and become the person he wants me to be. Amen. So remember that too. I've had people come to me and say, God's told me to leave. And well, God has told me the day before, they're going to come to you and this is what they're going to say. And they come to me and say exactly word for word what God said they're going to say. And he said, but let them go. Just let them go. So I do. I listen quietly and respectfully to what people say. And I say, well, you go with peace and they go. Amen. Come on. So and what I'm saying there is if you are a leader, you know, and you have people under you, you need to be walking so close to God that God can tell you that. They're going to come and say this, this, and this to you, but it's not me. Are you listening here? If you're going to be a leader, you have to be walking that close to God because you have to know where the enemy is at. And you have to know when he's going to try to stab you in the back, undermine you, all right? All right, then, walk mindful. Is that where I'm at? 1 Thessalonians 5:14-15. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. All right. This church is a family, a body. We must think of all the other members, not just ourselves at all times. We all, you know, with me, I'm always thinking about, is this going to bring shame to the Lighthouse Church and the people that sit under me? Everything I do, I weigh it. Is this going to bring shame? Because if I do something wrong, everybody in here is under that shame. Are you listening to me here? And I never want to be guilty of that. I don't want to have your blood on my hands when I stand before the Maker. The unruly. This is a soldier marching out of step or out of line. Unruly. This is a soldier marching out of step or out of line. We need some standards to go by. But we don't want to overdo this and stifle the spirit of a person which leads them to rebel outright. Let's read that again. The unruly that he talked about here in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. This is a soldier marching out of step or out of line. We need some standards to go by, but we don't want to overdo this and stifle the spirit of a person which leads them to rebel outright. I give you people a lot of line. You know, when you're fishing, you put that line out there. But whenever you're going to really go off the deep end, I reel you in. All right. I'm giving you space to go ahead and make a few mistakes, but I don't want you to kill yourself. Sometimes we learn by our mistakes, don't we? And sometimes you need to make a mistake. And so I don't reel you in till God says, all right, it's time to go. It's time to do some talking because we're getting ready to get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. The feeble-minded. This has nothing to do with mentality. It literally means little-souled. This is a negative person who is tempted to quit trying. You know, your soul is so small, S-O-U-L, that you just want, every time something comes down the road, you want to quit. The word comfort here comes from the Greek para, muthis, which means near speech. Instead of scolding them from a distance, we must get close to them and speak tenderly. This will enlarge the little soul. You know, instead of calling them on the phone or writing them an email, maybe you just need to sit down and look them square in the eye and say, hey, we need to talk. Amen. The weak means don't let them fall. Hold them tight. Weak Christians are afraid of the liberty in Christ. They live by rules and regulations alone. We need to hold on to those as well. No matter what they may think of us, we love them and count them as dear brothers. You know, some people just they get so caught up in the law that they don't have any freedom. They don't have any liberty. And God doesn't want us to do that. One time I prophesied to a young lady, and it was my praise and worship leader at that time, and God said, my path is wide. And I said, wait a minute. I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, Lord, your word said your path is narrow. He said, but when they walk wholly before me, They have full reign of the whole path because I can trust them. All right? And so, you know, if we would just walk holy the way the Lord wants us to, we won't even have to think about the law because we will just automatically do what is right and we won't go off course. All right, verse 14, be in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Be patient with all. It takes patience to put up with others. Amen. Anybody in here that even your kids or anybody, you know it takes patience to put up, especially with a bunch of dumb sheep. Amen. Come on. Do you know how dumb sheep can really get? Well, it takes a lot of patience. And here we go again around this same mountain. But we're supposed to have patience. So learn patience. I think it was Sister Nancy said, God needs to teach me patience. Years ago, she said, I have no patience. And so God started teaching her patience. I don't know if he ever finished it or not, but he started it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always. Joy takes the burden out of living the Christian life. Now, we're learning the ideal walk with God if we're going to be used by God. It's what he's teaching us here. Nehemiah 8:10 says, this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Sundays we should just be happy, 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 happy. Amen. But if you live with somebody that isn't really sold out to God, they'll make you negative, 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 negative. I mean, they'll take all your joy from you if you allow them. You have to go into a secret place and say, and scream, God, you have to give me some joy here. Amen. I'm serious about that. And don't let them steal all of your joy or you're lost. Every church has its doubting Thomas, gloomy Gus, or Debbie Downer. To spend time with them is like watching an autopsy. Life's too short. The Christian life is just too grand for such distractions. Say that again. Every church has its doubting Thomas, gloomy Gus, or Debbie Downer. To spend time with them is like watching an autopsy. And life is too short, and the Christian life is just too grand for such distractions. And that's the gospel truth. Some Christian, you just sit and shake your head at. I don't know where they come from, but it's not from the same heaven that I know. They're always complaining, always complaining. Never anything going good, always complaining. I always say you need to go and get redipped, you know, and get that negative thing off of you. Walk, number four is walk thankful, and this is the 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Everything we do, give thanks. I don't care what you're going through. Thank God you're going through it. Sometimes I say, well, God, here I am. I'm thanking you for this. I don't understand it, but I'm thanking you for it. And I'm doing it joyfully, ho, 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 and ha, 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 you know. Come on, I'm honest with God. He already knows that where I'm at with this thing. Come on. You know, I'm hearing God say that the enemy loves to distract you. He loves to pull you down. And so we have to keep our joy going. We cannot allow the enemy to pull us down. The key to prayer is praise. Not requests alone, not just complaints, ailments, and such. Those who truly want to pray are thankful people, and the blessings they recognize so well encourages them to request for future needs. You know, all we do is when I'm going to go pray, God, I need, I need, I need, I need. God, why aren't you doing? Why aren't you doing what you're doing? No, quit that junk. I just say, God, here I am. I really don't understand what life's all about. I don't know what you're doing, so I'm just laying here. I'm just going to be in your presence. I do this quite a bit because I don't understand what's going on. I'm just praising you, God, just for the fact I'm breathing right now. And whatever you're going to do in your timing, so I'm not even going to talk about it no more. I do, you know, because he's going to do it when he's ready to do it. And so I just sit there and thank him, just so I'm able to breathe. And just thank him for who he is and for his son. And people ask me, how do I know you're real? I just know you're there, God. So I'm just going to talk to you and tell you how wonderful you are. Why talk about all the other stuff? You talk to your blue in the face about it and it hasn't changed yet. Because God's going to do it in his own timing. Gabriel said yesterday, does God ever get it done? I said, yeah, in his own timing he does. Every now and then I told him, I said, every now and then I'd like to give him a helping hand, but he doesn't want my helping hand. He has enough hands. You know? All right, number five, walk careful. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things and hold fast what is good. Back in those days, they didn't have the full Bible as we do. They prophesied and preached immediately from the Spirit. They were foretelling. We are forthtelling. We never want to squelch or quench the Spirit, which is why we need to prove all things. We can easily be done today by comparing what someone else says or does to the Bible. You know, there's a whole lot of twisting the Bible out there nowadays. You know, they read the Bible and they twist it to say what they want it to say. Don't listen to that kind of garbage. The Bible is what the Bible is, and we are not supposed to add to or take away. It just is. Number six, walk faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from every form of evil. And we're talking about walking faithful. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You know, this scripture here, I know somebody who has a little bit of lust in him, you know, and he, when he's in church, he says he kisses all the women. He said, after all, the Bible says to greet all the brethren with a holy kiss, you know. And he's twisting that for his own means. Verse 22 is a negative, and oh, how we need a revival in this area. It is not just what you do, but how you come across. Perception is reality for the one perceiving you. This you do for the benefit of man as a good testimony. You claim to be a child of God, then everybody's watching you be a child of God. And they're watching to see, are you truly a child of God, or is this just something that's coming from your lips? Are you ruining your own testimony? Are you ruining your own testimony by what you say, how you react? Amen. As an example, just yesterday, you know, I have a lot of problem in my home with drugs, and one day, maybe a year ago now, it has been a year ago, everybody always came against this person, and I never did, but then this one day I did, and my good Father in heaven reminded me of that yesterday, and he said, why did you do that? You were the one and only one that should never have done that. But why did you do that? I got caught up in the moment of all the junk that was going on around about me, and I forgot who I was in Christ Jesus, a long-suffering child of God. And I said some things I wish I never said. I mean, I really, you know, wasn't ignorant or anything, but I did stand my ground, which I shouldn't have stood my ground. Because what did that do? That just pushed that person away from me. And he needs me more than needs anybody else in the house. Because of the God in me. You understanding this? See, and God said to me just yesterday, why did you do that? He brought to my remembrance that I walked out of his will. Because he told me never to do that. So what are you guys doing out of the will of the Father? Well, you know, Lord, he was saying, it doesn't matter what he was saying. You're a child of God. You're long-suffering. Right? Get out of here. That's what we're supposed to be, long-suffering. Love the unlovable. Amen. Verse 23 is the opposite, is the positive, focusing on what God thinks, not what man thinks. If you preach only the negative as rules, you get out of balance. Just like Rodney Howard Brown was saying, you know, when I first started church, you weren't allowed to laugh in the church. You couldn't move. You had to come in, be very respectful. And the people did all that. And one day God said, what are you doing? He said, I do laugh, you know. He said, you let these people come in here and enjoy their self. So I told him the next Sunday, I said, you can do whatever you want to do. You can laugh. You can walk around. I don't care what you do. Just do it. And so then, you know what? The anointing fell and we just had a wonderful time with the Lord. But when I tried to put rules and regulations on them that aren't even godly, it didn't work. I was brought up, you don't talk and you walk through the doors of the church. You don't say a word. You go and sit down. You keep your mouth shut until it's time to leave and you go out quietly. That's how I was taught. And so when I started the church, that's how I did it. But God said, that's not me. So it's not how you've been raised. It's how the Holy Spirit wants it done. Amen. We encourage one another with our faithfulness. We encourage each other with our faithfulness. We need each other, whether you believe that or not. You are not a rock in an island all by yourself. And yet, I have God. Well, you need each other too. Come on. Lost my place. When you are not here, you're missed, and we are all less blessed. When you're not in the house of God, you're missed. We feel it. We know you're not here. The ideal church is about fellowship as well as discipleship, man as well as God. The ideal church is about fellowship as well as discipleship, man as well as God. We need God, but we need each other too. 1 Thessalonians 5:26 says, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. This kiss could be summed up, give a handshake all around the room among the brotherhoods. That's what we need to do, because lust will beget more lust, right? So we just don't do that. We'll give you a handshake. Thank you. I'll give you a hug. I'm not lustful, so I come and I hug you. I'm not after you. I don't want you. I'm not in a midlife crisis, you know. So I just love you. You know, I'm your pastor, and I want to see you grow. Amen. Now, I have a prophetic word I want to read here. It was an article came on the email this afternoon, and I thought I'd read it because it goes right along with the ideal walk. And this young lady said, God is looking for humility, truth, and integrity. And this is by Kathy Watson. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Always remember that. Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. Beloved, let us love one another, I heard the Lord say. You want revival? It must start in your own heart first. This is what God did with our last couple of revivals. He was getting us prepared for real revival. You must let go of all offenses and forgive from the heart, that the fire of my love will burn in your hearts afresh and anew again, that you will know my forgiveness and freedom. This is God speaking. This is the time. Don't waste another minute holding on to present offenses or the offenses of the past. Time is short and we have to be about the kingdom business, for they will know us by our love and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, who wants to taste rotten fruit. Amen. Then she says, here is a challenge and opportunity by God's Spirit. I received this word a few months ago while in prayer and wrote it down. I have released it in one church where I was speaking, but the last couple of days it has been stirring in my heart by the Spirit to bring it forth again now. There are a lot of posts on social media about just giving everything to the Lord, wanting to have his heart, his love, be humble, be just like Jesus here on earth to make a difference, and who doesn't want to do that? The word tells us if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you have to first be the servant of all. And I don't see that in the body of Christ. We don't want to be the servant of anything or anybody. I'm talking about the church, okay, as a whole. He is looking for godly character over gifts and anointings. He is looking for godly character over gifts and anointings. He is looking for humility, truth, and integrity of heart. God is calling us to walk in a new level of authority. So here's this walk thing again. Revelation and a fresh perspective of his love. A fresh perspective of his love. The love that covers, conquers, and wins in the end. Love covers all things. When you start talking about somebody's fault, guess what you don't have? You don't have the proper kind of love. Amen? That is the only thing we take with us, folks, is his love. You may ask when a wrong is done to you, just like the disciples asked Jesus, how many times do I forgive? And he said 70 times 7, and that can be on an everyday basis if needed. Guard and protect your hearts and above all, love. So here is the word that I release with love and pray that our hearts will truly be changed to be like him. Now this is the word that God gave her. And be his voice and his hands and feet on this earth, to God be the glory. So this starts his word now. So many people are crying out for more of me, more of my presence. I hear, oh Lord, I want to be more like you. Oh Lord, I want to be in your presence. Oh Lord, more Lord. And he said to me, here is a challenge. Here is the opportunity by my spirit, says the Lord, to bless those who curse you and spitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you. Love your enemies. Love one another. This is my commandment and new covenant, that you would love. If you don't have love, you already know this, you're not going to go anywhere with God. And I don't mean love for a second. I mean love 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long. You have the fullness, you have the fullness of my love. Love because I command, that's a command, it's not a suggestion. Love because I command you to. I just can't love my husband today, well then you're in trouble. Because God commands you to love your husband. My kids are, I can't love them today, well then you're in trouble. Your love walk's not right, and don't think God's going to use you, because he won't. Love because I command you to. Love because I set the example of my love when I sent my love here to this earth for you. God himself set the example. Jesus is the very essence of the manifestation of my heart of love here on earth. This is heaven touching earth, bringing transformation from sin and death to life and love through my son. My kingdom is a kingdom of love, and the fruit is righteousness, peace, and joy. But it all comes down through my love sent from above. You know, guys, I wish the body of Christ would really learn how to love. Not lust, but love. I wish that you would learn God's love and not your perceived love. God said, I sent you my love. I gave you all my love. You have the fullness of my love. Each one of you that claim to be a child of God, this is what you have. If you really want more of me, if you really want to be just like me, says the Lord, then be reduced to love. Well, I'm not going to put up with that junk. You're not reduced to love yet. Are you listening? Decrease all self-centeredness and selfishness and be reduced to love. Decrease all self-centeredness and selfishness and be reduced to love. I see people saying, well, I gotta love, so I'm gonna be nice. And you know, then they go on being nice with an attitude. That's not love. You might as well just quit right there. No more self-seeking, glory-seeking for your own pleasure, but for my pleasure, to do my will, so my glory will be revealed through you and in you and all around you. See what he says there? No more self-seeking, glory-seeking for your own pleasure, but for my pleasure, to do my will, so my glory will be revealed through you and in you and all around you. That is my pleasure to you. And God said, here is your opportunity to be just like your heavenly daddy. Here is your answer. Walk in my presence daily, continually, and be increased in my kingdom. Repent. Turn away from the past and press toward the future. Let old things pass away and behold the new, the plans that I have for you. I still know people in the body of Christ that cannot let go of the past. They still want to go back into their past sins. They still love the pleasure of that sin that the sin brought them. And you're not ready yet to go forward. Then you're never going to go anywhere, because you're stagnant and you're going to stay stuck in that mud sty that you're in. You have to let go of the past and move on. For surely the Lord would say, when all things have passed away, the only thing that will remain is faith, hope, and love. When all things have passed away, the only thing that will remain is faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Faith is a doorway to hope, and hope is where we stand and have the anchor. Love is eternal and is now and goes on and on and on and on. Well, you just don't know what they did to me. Well, you know what? You don't know what you did to them either. You did something to cause them to do what they're doing. And you just need to quit that junk. And I don't care if somebody did hurt you. And I'm saying, I'm serious about that. I don't care because I've lived through a lot of hurt in my life. And you know what? I kept forgiving and God kept giving me grace. Come on. You can do this thing. You just don't want to do it. You still want to hold on to that flesh that says, I am going to get revenge. You need to let go of that thing. God said love is eternal and is now and goes on and on and on. Faith, hope, and love are the greatest of these. And the greatest of these is love. You have all the faith in the world you want. If you don't have love, you're nothing. You know, your faith is nothing. Galatians 1, 10 through 12. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is time that this body of Christ, I'm not preaching to the church down in the corner, this body of Christ walks in the agape love of God. You need to drop the past. You need to drop all that dumb stuff you hang on to. I don't care who hurt you. I could write 3 books about how people hurt me. But I don't care to go there. I could write a book about what's going on in my life today about people hurt me. I don't want to go there. I could write a book about how they hurt me and I love and I don't have to love, but I love and I love and I love and I love because that's who I am. And I forgive because that's who I am. Why am I like this? Because I'm a child of the Most High God. Come on. You guys, you've got to get to that place. When you live in the midst of darkness, you can still be a light. When all hell is breaking loose around about you, you can still look up and praise the Lord and mean it. It's not something you're just doing because you have to do it. You don't have to be in the pigsty that you're in. Everybody in this world makes mistakes. Absolutely everybody. So what makes you think that you're so special that nobody should ever do anything wrong to you? Look what you've done to Jesus Christ. You should never complain about anything. When you was in your sin, you trampled all over his blood. You were saying, even though you didn't know it, this is still what you were doing. Then even after you got born again, you still trampled over his blood because you wouldn't let go of your sin nature. God's upset about this. And he wants the body of Christ to learn. You people should know be loving people because that's all we've been teaching for about 3 years now. You should be loving people. You should be able to say, I forgive you when somebody does something wrong to you. You should be able to go to the Father and say, Father God, this really does hurt, but I forgive them. I'm not holding on to it because it's not going to bring me anything. You know, I know somebody stole $200 cash from. They could have stole $400 because they had $400 there. But they only stole $2. So they went and took all their games and said I bought them from them because they stole my $200. And I looked at them and I said, you need to forgive that person. I'm not going to do it. I said, then God can't forgive you. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, what you have done to other people is far worse than what that person did by stealing from you. Whenever you break somebody's heart, when you trample over them and just think nothing of it, think it's all right to hurt somebody else so you can have your pleasure. That's far worse than them stealing $200 from you. And I'm telling you that too. You need to quit pointing your finger and judging others. And you need to start thinking of what you, just like God reminded me of what I did, and I shouldn't have went there with that young man. Because I was his mainstay. I was the one he looked to because he knew I walked with God. And he knew that I would never hurt him, but I hurt him. And that just pushed him further down into the hole. Are you understanding this tonight? We're talking about walking the right way with God. We're talking about being true Christians, true children of God, that we're talking about being a sign and a wonder. We are to be a sign and a wonder because we can stand up to the enemy no matter what he throws our way. And we can stand. And we're not standing, with a limp, but we're standing strong in the Lord. And we're not trying to recover. We have recovered because God is our strength. How are you going to go out there and minister to the world when you yourself can't do this thing, this stuff? Amen? Come on. You don't hear me talking and running other pastors down. That's not my job. My job is to teach you the gospel. And every time somebody comes here, well, I was in that church and this pastor did. I don't want to hear that junk what another pastor did to you. I don't know the whole story. I just know what you're telling me. And how you perceive it might be not the way God perceives it. All right? And any of you in here that's going to be a pastor of a church, you don't ever run another pastor down. You don't talk about them. You don't let people that come from another church come to you and say, well, this pastor did. You don't care what they did. I told you one time a pastor came to me and said, what do you think is going on down that church? And I said, and God said to me, it's none of your business what goes on down that church. So I told him, it's none of our business what goes on down that church. Well, yeah, I need to know. I said, well, I don't. Because I have enough to tend to the few sheep that I have. Are you understanding this? Now, are you a child of God or are you not a child of God? Can you walk in the true love of God or can you not walk in the true love of God? Can you walk out Thessalonians 4, chapter 4 and 5? If you can't, then you can't be used. You've got to walk that walk. You've got to do what God's telling us to do in those two chapters. It's time to make a decision. Because I'm going to tell you what, guys, if you're not right, when the glory drops, you're not going to get into glory. I'm here to tell you that tonight. Because God told me that. He told us that here. If you won't get in the river now, when the river starts flowing, you'll still be standing on the riverbank wishing you would have gotten in. So I'm telling you right now tonight, if you don't get this together now, when the glory really does drop, you're never going to feel the glory. Because God won't let you. I'm hearing him say, you wouldn't let me in when I asked you to, and so I'm not letting you get in either. He's building up strong towers. He doesn't need any more weak preachers, evangelists, or anything else. He needs strong towers that others can run into. Now, are you that strong tower that others can run into? Why doesn't anointing hit you like you've seen in the pictures on those clips? Could it just be because there's things in you that are not right yet? There's still some darkness in you. I really feel like really truly that whenever they were playing, the anointing should have been so strong off of those things that it should have hit you sitting here. Amen. Come on. God said, I only want those at the altar tonight that are truly committed to me. And even though your life's not 100% the way it should be, but you're really committed to me and you're really crying out for me to change you, to make you pure and holy. That's the only ones I want at the altar tonight. Because I'm going to come into you in a way I've never come into you before, and your life is going to be changed. He doesn't want you up here if you're just playing games.